How often is the worship time in God's temple? You see, it's become by rote. You know, you go to church, and then you have a nice organist there, somebody that can play the piano or whatever, and you have a good song leader that can lead you, and say, now we're going to sing song, 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 song. We sing, and we sing, we sing. We go home. Life's changed. You got the kids crying around you. You got something going on. You know, the lawn needs cutting and the dogs barking at something. You don't know what it is. Come on. Beloved, we've got to start to get real in this life. We've got to start to live from a different point of view. A different point of view. So he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The Almighty is the one that can do anything. There is nothing that he cannot do. We haven't proved that yet, but it's the truth anyway. He can do anything. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. Absolutely no. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. He is my place of safety and has the power to keep me safe. That's what it means. And in him will I trust. The Garden of Eden is in you. There is a place of quiet rest that's near to the heart of God. A place where sin and confusion cannot come. That's near to the heart of God. And it's in you today. Thank you, Lord. So it says here then, we're going back to Genesis now. Adam was put into the garden. But now the Lord God is going to do something which has a real impact upon our lives today. I want you to listen very carefully to this. This is chapter 2 and verse 21. Yes. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam. The ways of God cannot be charted. The ways of God cannot be understood by the natural man. They cannot be understood. And there are many, many people have tried to charter God's thinking, to know what he really is thinking about and how things are to function and so on. And they cannot do it. So, because God is God, before that man, this is the first man. So God is preparing all of mankind. Because remember, God only created one man, Christ Jesus, but in that one man was all of mankind. And every one of you have come out of him. Which means that you are a production of Christ Jesus. And not just a production of Christ Jesus, because he was the Son of God, then you also are his children. Now, what does this mean to us? Because this is important. So I want you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 17. The book of Acts, chapter 17. And this is the Apostle Paul that's speaking here. And he says in verse 26, listen to this, "And God has made of one." God has made out of the one all the nations on the earth to dwell. Did you hear that? God hath made out of the one. What's the one? That's Christ Jesus. So what does this mean? It means everybody on the face of this earth, everybody that's ever been born on this earth, has Christ dwelling in them. Well, then why has the church been preaching for 2,000 years to give your heart to Jesus and then ask Christ to come into your heart? You see? It's a contradiction of the truth. And it's not helped anybody. In fact, it's created a whole mass of people in the world that say, "I'm a Christian." "Why are you a Christian?" "Well, I gave my heart to Jesus." "God bless you. You're a Christian." Do you know what the word Christian means? It means a Christ one. That I am out of the Christ. Which means that the Christ is in me, and me and the Christ are one. We're not two separate things. But me, well, that's what I see when I look in the mirror. No, that's not me. That's my body. My body is not me. Christ is me. I am what he made me to be, which is Christ. So this is very important for us to know. God hath made out of the one all the nations on the earth to dwell. What does that mean? It simply means that the nations of this earth, all the people of the nations of this earth, are the family of God. Amen. Well, then why have we got all these wars going on? Why have we got one nation will go and drop an atomic bomb on another nation and kill thousands and thousands of people? Why is it today that the Israelis and the Palestinians are fighting it out and slugging it out? They're killing people all every day and causing all sorts of mayhem. Why is it that America went over there to Iraq and caused hell on earth over there? Why is it today that we've got nations all joining forces over in Afghanistan there to fight against the people over there? Didn't somebody tell them that the nations of the earth all came out of God? Or aren't they listening? Well, I didn't hear anything, any response then. What do you think? What do you think? You see, we're touching on our subject today, which most Christians have not even thought about. I'll admit it, I hadn't thought too much about some of the issues I'm sharing with you now until 12 months ago. That's when God began to just open this up to me, and I realized, Lord, I've been living too in a dark room. I mean, I know a lot about the Bible, but Lord, I didn't realize the impact that this knowledge would have upon the world. Well, I want to tell you, you know, it changed my mind about many things. See, one of the things is, you see, there's an issue today in the world, as you know, with Islam. And the Muslims are determined to take over the world and so on. And so they're raising their head in every nation. Australia, we've got them over there as well. And, you know, there are issues going on. And many Christians hate them. Literally hate them, they'll tell you. I hate those people. They want to kill us. So we're going to get rid of them. So for them, it's okay, you can go out and kill a Muslim. well, then you're just as bad as the Muslim, because that's what the Muslim wants to do for us. They want to go out and kill us, but now we've got Christians who want to go and kill the Muslims. Come on. Are you hearing this today? Because I'm not just telling you this for fun. This is not a storybook. This is reality. We've got to face this individually, personally, and begin to function in a different kind of way in some issues here. So, he says, God has made of one all the nations on the earth to dwell, and has determined the times and the seasons appointed, before appointed. The word times there has got nothing to do with your clock. It's got nothing to do with the calendar on the wall either. The word times is the Greek word kairos. K-A-I-R-O-S. Kairos. And it means not times as we understand it, it's now whatever time. It means that God has a program. It means that God has a kind of calendar, and his program is programmed on that calendar. Today, according to the scriptures, is the time of the Gentiles. Before the time of the Gentiles, which was the time before Christ came to the earth, that was the times for Israel. You see? That was the times for Israel. And so because they failed, God said, well, I'm going to make you very jealous, because now I'm going to send my message and my messenger to the Gentiles. The Gentiles in the Bible, the word Gentiles is the Hebrew word goyim, and simply means the heathen. And that's how Israel referred to the Gentiles. They're the heathen. We are God's people. Why? Because we were born of Abraham. Abraham's our father. And so they thought they were something very special. And when God turned his love toward the Gentiles, they got mad. They got mad. So they're telling us now that unless we support Israel, you know, we're bad people. Well, I don't know about you, but when I read the history, I mean, I hear the news, and I have an idea that the Israelis are about as bloodthirsty as any of them. They've killed just as many people as the other side. So what are we going to do? Just because they are Israel, we're going to say, well, that's okay. They're okay because they can kill people, but not the others. I don't think so. I'm not telling you to hate Israel. I'm not telling you to hate anybody. I'm telling you better love everybody. You better love everybody, because God so loved the world. And if God so loved the world, you better love them too, because God dwells in you. And if you don't love the world, then God's not functioning in you as he should. All right, so let's go on. What time are we? 3:30. Okay, all right. Let's go a little further here. It says here, verse 28, for in him, that's in Christ, or in God, because Christ is God, you know that, don't you? See, John 10, verse 30, Jesus Christ stood up and said, I and my Father are not two separate people. We're one. Why? Because God is spirit. Christ is spirit. You are spirit. We are one. And let me say this for the sake of those that may not know it. The Christ that's in you, the Spirit that's in you, the Spirit that's in you, and the Spirit in you are the same Spirit. And the same Spirit is in me. There is only one spirit in this universe, and that is God. And that spirit is the only source of life in the entire universe. Anything that has life received it from God. So now he says in verse 28, for in God we live. How could you live in God? You live in God because God fills the universe with himself. He's in the air you breathe. He's in everything around you. He's in all of the materials that were made this building and so on. He's in everything. There's no place you can go to on this earth where you can get away from God. Psalm 139. If I go up to the highest heaven, behold, thou art there. If I go to the ends of the earth, wherever that is, you'll be there. He says, if I make my bed in hell, God help us, because he'll be there. You see? You cannot be anywhere where God isn't. Now, some of you people, I mean, you come in here with a bit of a glum face today. Oh, something's wrong. Maybe there's something, you know, in your family. Maybe you've got some bad news, or there's some situation that you have which doesn't want you to smile too much. And I want to tell you, get rid of it today. Because I want to tell you, God dwells in you. And in him you live. In him you live. How could you live in God and have a problem? Because God doesn't have a problem. How could you live in God and you've got a headache? God doesn't have a headache. How can you live in God and you don't have everything that you really need? Come on. Are you hearing this? In God we live. Oh no, Lord, I'm sorry, but you know, that's not what the preacher told me. He told me to give my heart to Jesus, then when I die, then God will take me to heaven and we'll be up there and, you know, having a great time. No, I want to tell you, in God we live today. Amen. Sitting on that seat right there where you are in God. Amen. And your life is in God. That means that all of the ability of God is right where you are. That means the power of God is right there in you right now. That means whatever your problem is, come on. You live in God. It doesn't say try to live in God. It doesn't say if you do this and this and this, then you can live in God. It says you live in God. Full stop. Don't even listen to the devil, if he ever was. In God we live. In God we move. And that movement is according to the will and purpose of God. We move. But I can't, Lord, I don't have enough money. In God we move. Whatever you are supposed to be doing, you can move in God. But if you're trying to do something that's not part of the purposes and will of God in your life, then you're on your own. You see, and that's our problem. That's many people's problem. They are not doing what is the will of God. Therefore, they're not living in God, and they're not moving in God. Ah, but there's one more thing he says here. He says that our very being is in God. How's your body today? You getting old? My kids say to me, you know, Dad, when are you going to retire? I said, why in the world would I want to retire? All my friends that retired are dead. I don't plan to die. Not long ago, there was a guy came around selling insurance. It's called funeral insurance. He said, you know, if you die, he said, you know, your wife's going to have to pay for your funeral unless you leave enough money there for her. You know, she's going to be real hard up to pay whatever it is. I said, listen, just wrap it in a bag and put it in the ground and just don't worry about it. It's okay if ever that happens. But I said, sir, I don't plan on dying. He looked at me, he said, what do you mean? I said, I don't plan on dying. I said, Jesus Christ said, he that hears my word and believes in him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed, I said, is passed from death unto life. I'm for living. I don't know about you. I'm for living. And I have no desire to get old. Old is in here. Old is in there. Whatever you tell yourself, somebody says, I'm sick. I said, well, enjoy it while you can. Because you are what you believe. You are what you believe. The Apostle Paul said, and I happen to agree with him, in God we live. We live in God. We're not living in a world of frustration. We're not living in a world of problems. We're not living in a world where it's gone crazy and people are killing each other. So we live in God. Lift yourself out of the 21st century and start to live in God, because that's what we're supposed to do. Now, I've said a lot of things this afternoon here, but I'm going to go just one step further this afternoon before I finish. Because this is very, very important. If we go back to Genesis, chapter 2. We find here that God is doing something which many people have never understood and actually wondered why God did what he did. Well, here it is. It's chapter 2 and verse 21. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he slept, and he slept, and he's still sleeping. I don't read where Adam woke up. Hello, Adam? Hello, Adam? Oh, it's not you. That's good. That's good. Yeah. There's still a lot of Adams around. They're still asleep. And it says that while he's asleep, it says the Lord God took one of his ribs, it says here, took it out of him. But what he actually took was the female part of Adam. Now you say, well, what is the female part of Adam? Adam is spirit, and I want you to understand that spirit is male and female functioning together as one. Now we need to get a hold of this, because this is vital. This is very important. Spirit is male and female. There is one thing that you need to know and understand and get it straight right now. And that is that you cannot divide spirit. It is impossible to divide spirit. Because if you could divide spirit, you could divide God. Now, I know the churches and religion has already done that. They've got three gods now, you know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You cannot divide God. Because you cannot divide spirit. But here we have the Lord God taking the female part of Adam out of his and using it to create or to form another being. So now, what are we to do with this? How are we to understand this? Well, it's very simple. You see, this is not literal. But one of the problems with religion is that they want everything in the Bible to be literal. And if it's not, then they say, well, you're just playing games with it. You can say, no, it's not a tree, it's actually a seed. Or it's not a seed, it's actually a tree. You see, they say, you can change anything to make it anything. No, that's not true. That's not true at all. But there are some things in this Bible that are not literal. Jesus Christ taught the people of his day with parables. A parable is a story, but it has a divine meaning. And that's how he taught the people. And so he said, you know, the sower went out and sowed the seed. So in order to preach the gospel, you've got to become a farmer. You know, and you've got to wear an old hat, you know, to keep the sun off. And you've got to have a big bag there or a big basket or something with all the seed in. And you've got to learn how to... I don't think so. That's not what Jesus was talking about. He was using it as a parable. A parable is not literal. But because we understand the literal aspect of the parable, we can then apply the spiritual to it. So now, this is not literal. The Lord God did not take the female part out of Adam. Adam. Because, number one, it's not possible. Spirit cannot be divided. Spirit is male and female functioning together as one. That's why God could reproduce out of himself. That's why the Christ Jesus could reproduce out of himself without any help. And that's why you can also. You can also. But we had to learn this, didn't we? We've got to understand this. All right. So it says now, the Lord God took this rib out of Adam, or the female part, and with it he made, not created, he made a woman. The woman is the product of the mind of the man. That's what she is. And I wasn't there when this happened, as Des Walter, but I was there as spirit in Christ Jesus. So now I know a little bit about it, you see. I didn't realize that I was there before. Now I had a good look because I was there. I know I was there because I was in Christ. All right. So the female part was taken out and he formed a woman. Now I know that Adam was still under the deep sleep. He was still under the deep sleep. Why? Because the Lord God brought the woman to the man. And when Adam saw that woman, if he had been in his right spiritual mind, he would have said, who are you? Where did you come from? Because God never made you. I know God never made a woman or anything like you, whatever you are. He would have said, well, I haven't any idea even what you are. But see, he didn't do that. He said, he looked at her and said, you are bone of my bones. You are flesh of my flesh. You were taken out of me. Therefore, I'm going to call you woman. In the Hebrew language, she's called Ishur. That's the woman, Ishur. Why was she called Ishur? Because Ish is the man. So she's Ish Shor. She's a part of the man. She's a part of the man. Every one of you are part of the man. Who's the man? Christ Jesus. Not Des Walter or another guy. No, it's Christ Jesus. You are a part of him. Oh God. But not only are you a part of him, but you are the only expression that he has on this earth. Why did God create man? I'm going to tell you. God created man to make himself visible on this earth and to accomplish on the earth the things that he needed to do. He could not do that as spirit. But because he put the spirit in a body, that's your body, then he's able to do what he wants to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. And the Apostle Paul says, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of God, or the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you?" That is, the Spirit is in you, which you have of God, and you do not belong to yourself. Your body is not yours. Oh, listen, I'm telling you, Christians need to learn this. Your body is not yours. I see Christians today, you know, and they've been to those guys that'll paint pictures on your body and put all kinds of words and sayings and stuff, you know. And I'm not speaking condemnation to anybody. If any of you got tattoos today, God bless you. I am not condemning you. I'm simply going to tell you the truth. Your body does not belong to you. And why is that? That is because God needs your body. Because it's the only form of expression that he has on the earth. Spirit is invisible. Therefore, he cannot do anything. But not only that. You see, this is how God created us. This is the purpose for which God created us. He created us to be the expression of the Christ. And that's why we have the combination name, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the man with the physical body. But the one that did the ministry, the one that did the miracles, was not that man. It was not Jesus. Jesus never did a miracle. Many years ago, I was in India the first time. And I was ministering in a little village church. Little church building there made out of bamboo and whatever. And there was about 100 people there. And I ministered that morning. And at the end, I was, you know, going to walk outside there. And the pastor grabbed me by the arm and he said, "Brother," he said, "there are people here needing to be prayed for." I said, "You want me to pray for them?" He said, "Yes." So I, you know, I couldn't think of a good argument, so I went out. And here's 100 people lined up. with every kind of disease that you could imagine. And I said, Lord, this is not fair. I don't know how to do this. And I wouldn't argue with God. He wouldn't argue with me. So I started and I began just to pray for these people. I don't know what happened that day. If anything happened, I'm not sure. But I did what I could. I did my best. But when I got on my own that night, I said, Father, please don't send me to another place like this until you teach me how to do what Jesus did. He said, you really want to know? I said, I certainly do. And I do not want you to send me back until you show me. I'm going to show you today what God showed me, because it works for me. That's what I can tell you. Hey, this works. It's found in one verse in the Bible. If you want to write it down or look it up, you can find it there. It's in John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 10. And in this verse, there are three things that you need to know and establish first as facts in your life. The first one is, he says, you must understand that I, that was Jesus, am in the Father. Well, that sounded all right. Well, that's the first thing. If you want to do what you're supposed to do, not just what Jesus did, but what you're supposed to do, because Christ lives in you, to do exactly what he did in Jesus on the earth today. Why isn't it happening? Because God's people don't understand this. So hear this very carefully. You must believe that you are in the Father. You see, one day, Philip said to Jesus, Jesus, you've been talking about your Father. Well, how wonderful he is and so on. He's God and he created all things. Show us the Father. Just show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. Boy, that'll do me. And Jesus turned to Philip and said, Philip, have I been so long with you and you still haven't seen the Father? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Are you ready for this? What do people see when they see you? Because they are meant to see the Father. Amen. You hear this? It was God's intention that he would dwell in you and you would live in God, you would move in God, you would have your being in God, and that whatever you did would be an activity of God on the earth. Amen. Why aren't we doing it? People say, doing miracles. Oh, no, no, no. Well, I want to tell you something. I have never done a miracle. But I have seen all the miracles of Jesus in my ministry. I've seen amazing things. But I will tell you honestly, straightly, and out and directly, I never did one of them. So don't bill me as a miracle worker, because I am not. But I'm going to tell you something. There is one that dwells in me who could do anything, including raise the dead. And that same one is in you. The same one is in you. That same God, that same Christ is in you. And you can do anything he can do. Because he's not going to ask you to do it. He's going to say, whose hands are these? I say, Lord, these are your hands. You want to lay hands on somebody? I'll do it, Lord. I'll use my hand. If you just want me to lay hands on that person, I'll lay hands on them. I can do that. And I have done many times. Father said, you lay hands on this man or this person. Now I want you to say, and then he tells me what I'm to say.
Amen.
The second thing that Jesus Christ said was, the words that I speak, I do not speak of myself or out of myself, but I speak only what my Father says. If Father says it, it's a foregone conclusion. It's finished, it's done, and there is what he said. Because it will be right there. You see? So the first thing was, I must believe that I'm in the Father. Oh, there was another part to that. I nearly forgot. Listen. You must also believe that the Father is in you.
Yeah.
So you see, you and the Father become one. You and the Father. I'm sorry about this today. No, I'm not sorry, really. But I want to tell you, from this moment in your life, you'll never be able to live the same again. Because you're going to be conscious that your body is simply for an expression of the Father. That's all. Every word you speak, Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father say. Nothing else. And I only do what I see my Father do. You see your Father do something, you can do it. I can tell you this because this is how I function in my ministry, particularly in those countries where the need has been so great, like in Africa. Just incredible. The suffering that there is over there. The suffering from AIDS. From people that have never become involved in homosexuality or anything like that, but children who were born of a woman with AIDS, and the children automatically have it. And I've had some of those people come to me and ask me, can God deal with AIDS? I said, sure. I said, I don't care what it is. It doesn't matter to me. I don't think healing a headache is any greater or any less great than raising the dead. I think anything that God does is a miracle. And the transformation that I see in the lives of people as a result is quite incredible. And I'm not putting myself up as the picture and the final answer in all of this. I am very much still a learner. I am still learning. In fact, every experience that I have is just adding. The Father is teaching me, slowly but slowly. But you see, today, I believe what God is saying to you is, I want you to see life from a different perspective. I want you to understand that getting saved had really nothing much at all to do with it, except perhaps to cause your mind to begin to function, including God and Christ in it. Perhaps that was the best part of it. But you see, it's only what the Spirit teaches you. It's only what the Spirit in you is teaching you today out of this message that you will function in. That's all. If you just hear what I'm saying, you go home, it won't work. You'll just be the same. You'll do the same thing. If you're an angry person before, you'll be an angry person now. But I want to tell you, if you begin to understand, in God you live, and in God you move, in God you have your very being, you'll never be the same again. So today, as God just begins to touch our lives in a different way, now much of what I've said today you would already have known, but maybe saying it in the context in which we put it today was the way that God intended that you might live in a new experience, that you might become what God said you are. the Christ in humanity. This is Emmanuel, God dwelling in a body. And this is his body. You see, the church has always taught that they are the body of Christ. I'll guarantee you that the church in the world today is certainly not the body of Christ. He's not functioning through that body. When I say not functioning, I mean I'm not saying he's not there. He's certainly there. But the real activity of God is not through the church. I mean, I preach in churches and they just look at me strange when I say some of the things that I say, which are the truth in God. You know, they don't know. If you tell them that every person on this earth has Christ in them, they want to light a fire and burn you. I mean, honestly, some places they get very angry with me. Brother, you know what you're doing? You're destroying the world. You're telling these people lies. I said, I'm not telling them lies. You even mentioned that there's no hell out there after death, and I tell you, they will crucify you. Yeah, because they did me many years ago, about 40 years ago now, when I happened to mention that. That was the end of my ministry. That was the end of my church ministry. I was not a pastor anymore. I was not a Bible teacher anymore. I went back to work. And thank God for that. Because it took me several years to get rid of the church out of me. I mean, I left the church one day, just walked out and I was gone. But I, you know, a lot of it was still in here. And it took several years for God to get that out of me. And then he said, now we can start. So, beloved, today, I just want to bless you. I want to say thank you to you for coming. And I trust that what you've heard, now you're going to allow the Spirit to bring it into your spiritual intelligence and to make it a part of your life and function. Could we stand together as we just pray? Father, as this people stand before you in the presence of Almighty God, Lord, would you reach forth your hand and touch each one and cause us, Father, to rise up out of the sleep of our ignorance and out of the emptiness of our being, to rise up, Father, to see that we are nothing less than what you are, that the Christ of God dwelling in us is there and the body belongs to him, and that our bodies now are just to be available to him to fulfill your will and purpose on this earth. Father, bless each one of these people here today. You know them. You know them infinitely to the very end, Father. You know everything there is to know about them. Lord, bless them, I pray. Bless them now. And let the Spirit of God loose, Father, in them. And I loose the Spirit over you today. I release the Spirit in your heart and in your life to fulfill his function through you in these days, that the Philippine nation will know that there is a people who are the sons of God on this earth today and are able to function as a true son of God because Father dwells in us with all his power and ability. Lord, bless this people. And if there are special needs within any of these people, Lord, today, Father, I cause the Spirit of God to bring healing and wholeness and release, Father, most of all, release from anything that our mind, our carnal mind, has been able to put on us, and we believed it was there because our carnal mind told us. And Father, today you're saying, it's nothing. It's nothing. And today, Father, I speak release into every heart. Lord, let the blessing of Almighty God rest and abide with each one, and may be the fulfillment of your purpose will be accomplished in every person that has been here this afternoon. And Father, we say thank you. We bless your holy name today. We say, thou art great and greatly to be praised. And all the people said,
amen.
Amen.